What should we talk about? Anybody have any insights? Awarenesses?
I'd like to talk about giving up control. So, you know, and letting life drop, letting life lead. So it's easy here, because I can't, I mean, I don't know what I'm going to eat, I don't know what I'm going to do, I don't know anything. So I want to carry that out at home. But at home, conditioning tells me I'm the organizer, you know, I'm the manager. I got to do this and this and this or it won't happen. So,
which could be true, which is not to be confused with control.
Oh, I guess I have that all collapsed and letting life lead, and it's all kind of
mushy.
Yes.
Yeah. So, my favorite example of that is that I'm gonna go to Pennsylvania in September. So, I make a plane reservation. We find a place to hold a retreat. And we tell people we're going to be there, invite them to join us. That doesn't mean any of it's going to happen.
I understand that.
That's the big point.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's not that we don't take responsibility. It's not, so you know the Ram Dass.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the moment it drops in that you need to go to the dentist.
Uh-huh.
So in the moment you call the dentist.
Uh-huh.
In the moment you make an appointment for 2 months in the future.
Right, that could be good.
Yes. Yes, you could. With the dentist, that, you know. But the thing about it is, in this moment you make that appointment.
Okay.
And then when it's that moment, then it's time for that appointment.
And is letting life lead when I think it's time for the appointment, or when I see it on my calendar, or?
All of that.
Okay.
Yes, so it drops in.
Okay.
And the difference, I mean, it, you know, it's tricky to tell the difference between the two, but one big difference is, you need to make an appointment, 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 you need to make the appointment, make that dentist appointment. Did you make the dentist appointment? Mm-hmm. That's conditioned mind. That's not dropping in. So you can be there at home as the manager, and it'll drop in what to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the same as you're making it happen.
I lost you right there.
Okay. Have you ever been doing your excellent management job and something didn't work the way you thought it was going to?
From time to time.
That's our proof that we're not in control.
Okay.
So, you know, you don't tend to want to get up in the morning and go to your auto mechanic shop and tear down an engine.
Mm-hmm.
Nor do you want to go to the local hospital and go into the operating room and do surgery on somebody.
Mm-hmm.
It would never occur to you.
Right.
It would never drop in to do that. If it did, then you got big problems, okay? And out, probably almost outside of the range of Zen practice. So what will drop in is what fits with your life. Because for all of us, our lives, because of a big combination of things, karma being huge in it, our lives sort of go on a track.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so the things that it drops in for you to do are your things to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which again, doesn't mean you're making it happen or that you have any control.
And am I not leaving the present to plan for the future when I'm making my dentist appointment? Because I'm making it in the present. Okay.
And the difference there is that conditioned mind takes it up. Okay, well then you need to do this and you need to do that.
Uh-huh.
But what if that doesn't happen? And Like then, and if we do, I better make sure that.
Right. Okay.
The urgency.
Yes.
The. That's the difference.
Okay.
Do you people listen to Project Joy down there?
We did today.
Yeah.
So I heard about Project Not Thinking. I'm not there yet.
Isn't that great?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So proud. Proud parent. Yeah. But people talk, today people were talking about relaxing into, is that word? Yeah. And,
oh, that's funny, I missed that.
just relaxing into the present. That's the action that we take, is mm-hmm. to relax into the present. Mm-hmm. And then it just unfolds. Mm-hmm. And we don't have to worry about anything or agonize or stress or anything else. We do, of course, mm-hmm. but we don't need to. Mm-hmm. It's a personal choice. And it'll be fun to practice it.
Uh-huh.
Because in the same way, if we start paying attention to all of the proofs that we have that we're no more in charge of things than we are when we're here. Because, you know, you're going to fix something for dinner and then you realize you didn't pick it up at the store. Mm-hmm. Or you forgot to turn the oven on. Or, you know, any number of things happen all day long mm-hmm. that just aren't what we expected, aren't the way we thought it would be. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which, for conditioned mind, for ego, of course, it's a tragedy, right? Because then you have to get really upset and, And but for us, it's really great because we get to see how conditioned mind has this idea of what's going to happen that is just a conversation in the head. Mm-hmm. We don't know. We don't know that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, it does. I don't know, like with air travel, how much of it actually happens the way it's supposed to happen.
Yeah.
I know my experience of it, okay? And it would seem like almost none of it.
Right.
That's probably not completely true. But if we could see that, but what we assume it's going to go the way it's supposed to go.
Uh-huh.
Right? And then when it doesn't, of course we get all upset
right.
because, but it never was going to go that way. Mm-hmm. 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 That's that parallel universe that
yeah.
people live in that it's just a fiction.
Uh-huh.
And the thing about it is, if we were really appreciative of all the times it doesn't go the way we think it's going to go, because that's the reminder that I was off in fantasy land there
mm-hmm.
rather than here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But we're not trained that way. We're trained right. to get upset because it's supposed to be.
No,
it's not supposed to be. There is no supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
We're all making it up. And we're all making up a different one.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Which is what's really fun about it.
Right.
So, you know, in my supposed to be, in my direction, all the lights are green. And that cross traffic, sorry about that. And they're supposed to be, I know it's supposed to be red for them.
Right.
Yeah. So we run into that.
Uh-huh. So it sounds like for me it's just really listening to when the voices chime in. Well, that's always the case. I'm listening for the voices chiming in. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even more than listening for the voices chiming in, to be listening for the constant guidance from life.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And it is constant. That's why it's unnecessary to think.
So are the voices interfering with that? Is that okay?
Constantly.
Constantly.
So that you will go with their story about how things are supposed to be, which is karma.
Mm-hmm.
The supposed to be story is karma.
Okay.
And that's what they're constantly trying to fulfill.
Uh-huh.
So that's that thing that people catch on to, that what this is doing doesn't have anything to do with anything. Anything. And yet, until people do a lot of practice, they really believe that's what's real. And that all of this is just kind of an interference. A lot of mistakes happen here.
Right.
But in fact, there's no reality to that at all. It's just karma. So, you know, with karma, it's knowing. Karma is what we know. So, how do we know? Well, we're creating, we're seeing, we're making the reality that we believe. So people will say things like, no, I'm just no good with money.
Right.
And they'll affirm that every chance you give them. And you know what? They're usually not. But they, what they believe, of course, is that they are actually seeing what's true, not that they are creating for themselves a reality that fits, because more than anything, conditioned people want to be able to say, I know. I'm right about that.
So living and don't know is
magic.
Yeah. I have that on my Facebook.
Good. Yes. Good. Very good. Very good. Yeah. Because that's what is so. We don't know, and it is so obvious as soon as we get it, and it is so not until we do. How could you know? It's never happened. And yet the depth of the belief that you can know, that you should know, that the right people do know, that if you don't know, there's really something wrong with you. It's just, it's actually silly. It's actually kind of, what do they call that? Like thinking like a child. What do they call that?
Magic
thinking, or is that it? Or anyway, that's what it is. As a matter of fact, it's not just what it's like. It's what it is.
So life's dropping in all the time.
Constantly. There's no information that is too small.
So it's really quieting the voices so I can hear it, huh?
That's right. That's what those folks mean by the still small voice.
Okay.
It's always there, and that's what we're training ourselves to hear, and then of course to follow.
Yeah.
Isn't that good? I don't know how long that still small voice expression has been around. I will Google it. As soon as we get out of here. But I mean, forever, right? I mean, this is centuries old. Saint material. And that's what they're talking about, the very same thing.
That's good.
Yeah.
There's a lot in that. Gosh, I'm not even sure where to start. Well, I have a piece of content that I've been working with, and I'm selling my house, and I own the house with somebody else, and they want me to do something that I don't really want to do. And I just get to watch, I think forever I've been hearing you say, you don't need to leave center for anything, you know? And you can bring everything into spiritual practice. And sometimes when you would say you don't have to leave center for anything, I would like, well, that'd be kind of assuming that I'm at center. But when I was just listening to you, we are at center. The attention's just on, I mean, we're here. Mm-hmm. We're present, we're life. Attention's just on a voice.
Yes.
And so...
Do you realize how big that is? What you just said? I mean, that's big.
Yeah.
How do you get to center? Stop doing everything else.
Exactly.
It's where you are all the time.
Yeah. And I think that sense, I think what's been going on, there's been a, through this whole thing, there's been that larger awareness. So even though it's weird, it's like there's identifications going on. So in this kind of situation with somebody else that's going on, the habit in the past would be like obsessive thinking. Like I know what I'm gonna say, and I'm going to rehearse it a bunch of times until it make, one, that I've got it down, and two, that it's really justifiable, my position.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. That same thing that you're just talking about, being right, being secure.
So then if the other person doesn't agree.
Yeah, well, I can really explain in all kinds of nuances. When I'm battling you, I just really, here's the... And I'm watching little parts of that. It's like you're driving along and you just go into a little rut, but then I just steer right back out of the rut. And it's almost like it's not me that's happening to anyway. It's like there's that larger awareness. It just shrinks a little bit, and that's kind of the rut. But even in that place, there's that larger awareness, knowing that that's going on.
Yes.
And
that it's happening very near you.
It's happening very near me.
Yes.
And that's that distance and that knowing that it's not me, I guess, is what's been going on is I'll do that and I'll start doing the obsessing. It's like, I don't need to do this. It's just so clear. Like, it's not even, it's like, I was getting some guidance today and I said, it's like putting on a coat, and it's like, my coat, this doesn't even fit. Mm-hmm. Why am I putting it? Or it's a hot day, why am I wearing a coat? You know, it's like, how did this get on me?
Yes.
And it's just like so clear, it has nothing to do with me. I mean, I don't know, you know, I don't know why it's near me. I don't know why this coat's on me. I don't know why it doesn't fit, but I'm going to take it off.
Yes.
And it was that sort of impersonal. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then getting to see...
And if I may, just to underline that, it's always been that impersonal.
Yeah.
We just didn't know that.
Exactly.
Right? So we thought that it was us.
Exactly.
But as soon as you realize that you are the awareness that's watching that, then the distance is clear.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? It's sort of fun because it's not like, okay, you know what I'm going to do in this situation? I'm going to be that larger awareness that, you know, it's just what's happening because I practice. Mm-hmm. Because practice is happening. Mm-hmm. You know, and like get up that day and I just did what I normally do. I keep my practice commitments and, you know, come to meditation and follow the schedule. And I just get a glance of the transformation that's going on.
Yeah.
And a situation that would normally lead me, and there's just that, it's breaking up. And that place, I said in my guidance earlier today around, I heard myself say, oh, this would be fun to see how this works out. Like, what? that was not
this me. Huge life situation.
Yeah.
It'd be fun to see how this works. Right.
Yeah, and there was a sense of, yeah, like it's gonna work out however it's gonna work out. And there's just a super trust, as you were just saying, exactly. Mm-hmm. And there's a trust that'll be all for me.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so however it goes, there was like a real interest, like, wow, this is, and oh my gosh, I've never had that before. I've never really seen it that clearly. It was always surviving those situations, which, yes, you know, that means I gotta go talk to the survival system. Mm-hmm. Who's really surviving. Mm-hmm. I'm not surviving. Mm-hmm. I'm actually just kind of interested to see how this unfolds. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Because again, the attention's on the voice. The voice is a survival system. That's what it does.
Yes.
Everything has to be a big crisis, yes, that you got to get through and be
right.
Well,
it's money.
It's a lot of money. Yeah. 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 So, gosh, it just really is that ever-expanding faith. And just things like... So I went through one phase of it, and it felt pretty good, and I felt kind of centered in it. And then I got to a place where I'm just not sure. Well, why don't you check in about it? So I checked in about it, and then I got a response right away. Well, how about we talk about it? And it's just like you can see the concrete ways life is just guiding me, as you were just saying, the whole time. You know, that may seem like me, but how about I get some assistance? Here comes the assistance from life. You know, it's just, you could just, before I even got on the guidance call, I just felt completely loved and taken care of. Mm-hmm. It's that same place of like, however it goes, however this call goes, how whatever the guidance is, like however it is, I know I'm loved, I'm taken care of. Mm-hmm. It's
all for me.
It's all for me, and gosh, if that can occur in a situation like this, it's sort of like, well, bring it on then. Like, what is it then? Mm-hmm. What is it that I can't let go of?
Yeah. Well, yeah, what karma needs to be cleaned up?
Yeah.
We're in cleaning mode.
That's actually how it felt. So that little glance of, okay, now he's obsessing. Okay, now he's, you know, whatever else is going on, needing to be right. But it wasn't really me. So in that case, it felt like putting coal in a fire stove, you know? Mm-hmm. It was like the karma and the karma fire. It's around. It's there. It's near me. It's kind of coming in and out. But it's busting up. It's breaking up in the bits that can be thrown into the fire and burnt up. So that kind of ideal of, oh, I'll just be completely calm through the whole thing, doesn't make sense. Because then you wouldn't be cleaning up the karma.
Precisely. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Plus, that'd be kind of boring.
Yes. Well, it would be boring for
boring.
Ego. But when you get there, so, you know, this morning Pasha is talking about not thinking. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I can feel across the airwaves people going, what are you people talking about? No. We don't want. I don't want to not think. And yet, when you're there, and that's where you are in practice, it's not scary. It's not, you know, you're not giving up anything. You're not losing anything.
Completely the opposite.
And you won't be bored.
Not at all. And that's such the case, though, that if from that place of what? Not thinking, you can't imagine what. There's no way to imagine. Ego can never know that world of not ego.
That's right. That's exactly right.
So you can't ever be there and go, well, whatever, bliss or like just complete expanded awareness. I mean, you can't trust any of that. That's why get out of the conversation is the only way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the only place you'll ever see any of that.
Yeah. Very fun.
So I want to go back to the Pasha saying I'm not thinking, because I had a lot of stuff come up around that, the quote, and today's quote. So let me just kind of recap what I'm talking about.
And say the quotes, because probably everybody might not have been with us.
So the first quote that I want to look at with this was from Gandhi, saying, something like, happiness is when what you do, what you think, or what you do, what you feel, what you say are all in harmony, or something like that. And then the other quote that feels like it ties in beautifully is today's quote, which is Elizabeth Kubler-Ross saying something like, we take responsibility for every thought, every feeling, everything. And I just love those together, because what I project Pasha was talking about was that the process that we would call thinking, that you know, all of that, you know, that mind activity is really unnecessary when we get, this is my experience now, I don't know what he's talking about, but when we get it that life just flows through all the time, as you're saying, things are dropping in, we're acting, you know, and that's how we kind of get to where we move through life in that way. And so then in comes this old, you kind of lose your ability to go back to that old process. Mm-hmm. And it just, because it is so freeing, actually, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And so I had something happen at the grocery store, I don't know, a few weeks ago, that I hadn't thought about until I heard that conversation about not, you know, losing your ability. So I don't even remember the last decision I made. You know, it's been ages since I've been in that process of making a decision.
Where you had to do pros and cons and look at the, weigh it out.
And I had to think about this, and then I had to think about it from the other side. Uh-huh. And then I had to go back and forth and back and forth, and then till I just finally, you know, did something, you know? So that whole process has just been absent from my life for ages. And the other day at the grocery store, the clerk asked me something he was asking me to make a decision. You know, well, do you want that or something? Or that's what it felt like. That's the way it came in. And I was like, And I couldn't do it. I told him, I said, I know.
Do you have a coin? That's flip.
No, I said, I really know what you're asking me. It's not a hard thing. I said, but hang on, let me just look. And I had to go to the looking process. Uh-huh. Not the decision process, uh-huh. to see what was the response. Mm-hmm. But it was like deer in the headlights, make a decision. Like, I can't. I don't know how to do that anymore. And it was just so funny to have experienced that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a really different process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it is. Yeah. And to watch it flow like that.
Yeah.
So what you're describing is what conditioning does to people, right? So what you did, finally, when you said, and then just do something. But you felt like you had done your part.
Yep.
You can't just do something. How irresponsible is that? You have to agonize. You're going to get to the same place.
Okay? Yeah.
But you have to agonize. You have to work at it.
Yes,
and it has to be the center of everything.
Yeah,
and as many people as you can drag into it.
Exactly. Because if you know, and I remember when I made a big life change to say, like, ended a 20-year relationship, and started telling, which what didn't happen in that agonizing process, but I had to pretend it did.
Yes.
Because when people say, no, I know you've thought about this a lot, and I would like you.
Oh.
I did.
Yes. Yeah. What do you do when you're lying? Flat out lying to somebody.
I don't really cross your. But it, because it's so, socially and.
Unacceptable. Well, and if you leave a 20-year relationship, you better be prepared to explain to people what's wrong with them. Yeah. Yeah, you gotta have a nice long list, right? Because it. Well, I just decided it was time to do something different. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
No. Now, that could actually be what was going on, and that could be what's going on with a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But if this is where I tell my favorite one, right, talking to the woman who is moving to Southern California, and I asked her why, and she said, because I want to and I can. Let's make all our decisions just like that. What do you want to do? Can you? Okay. Yeah. But and that's so huge, because in that same process, well, what's wrong with where you are now? Is the house not? Yeah. Is the job? Is it that? You gotta have a reason, not just. I've always wanted to do that,
and I can't. And what if you don't like it there once you get there?
That's right. And then you're going to be stuck there for the rest of your life. You'll have to be buried there. In that place that you realize you hate. Failing to notice that you went there. You
go. There are roads all over the place. Yeah. Well, and that ties in with the Kubler-Ross quote to me, anyway, of taking responsibility for everything. It's like
all harmful thoughts, words, and deeds.
Oh, yeah.
Since before the beginning of beginningless time.
Yeah. Mm.
That's what she's saying.
Yeah, and the freedom in that.
Oh, I did it.
Exactly.
It's all done. Isn't mine. I did it.
It's all done. It's all done. Yeah. I have no point in talking about it and just.
I did it.
Yeah.
Sorry. Not really. I learned so much. Which is also not a good thing to say to conditioned people. What were you thinking? Well, actually, I wasn't. But, oh my gosh, what I've learned as a result of it. And we don't care because it was the wrong thing to do. It was a mistake.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it, truly, it's just completely different realities.
Oh, it so is. But we laugh a lot in this reality.
We have more fun in this reality than I think a lot of people have in that other reality. Reality.
So I've been looking at projection and following the projection back as a way of information on what needs to be resolved here. Right, so I get upset about something, and if it's an external trigger for some reason, then it's the external trigger that's responsible, and so then you have to fix the external stuff. But if you know projection, then you go, well, what's going on here that needs to be resolved?
Which is way easier, isn't it?
Yes.
For anybody who's tried to fix other people.
Or external environments.
Yeah, projection is a real relief.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the interesting part about it is, in looking at it, there are places where it's a preference that doesn't get met. And I could go to this place of, okay, that's my preference, it didn't get met, I don't have to suffer about it. So that was an easy one. Or there's a particular value that I have that is violated in some way, and I have a reaction to it. It doesn't go to a suffering place, but it gets labeled as something wrong. Not just simply a value I have that's meeting a value that someone else does not have, and I don't want to be around that. And the interesting part for me there is there's no suffering in it if I don't go to the place that I'm a bad person or that person is a bad person because they have a different value for me. Mm-hmm. Does that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm checking this out because
shall I stop you there and explore that?
Well, that's
or
not
you
awareness
do
related
the next
to
one.
It, but go ahead.
Well, I think that it's extremely important for us to know that we can. So before we decide, I don't want to, I choose not, to know that you can.
Uh-huh.
Because to choose not from a place of I can't.
Right.
Or,
I
don't want to.
Yes.
Is not choice.
Right.
That's delusion.
Okay, so if I'm following you, if I have a preference, I'm free as long as if I can't get that preference met, my sense of okayness is not affected.
That's right.
So as soon as I'm at that place where, okay, I can't eat pizza with cheese, I can eat pizza with spinach, even though I don't like it, then I can eat, right? It doesn't matter that I choose the pizza with spinach or choose the pizza with cheese because I know I'll be okay even if only pizza with spinach is available.
Yes, however, just for ducks, and because we do awareness practice and it's more fun, I would prefer to learn to enjoy the
whatever
spinach
I
pizza.
Have. Uh-huh, right. Right, so there's so many levels.
Your favorite.
Yes, so many levels of it, right? The ability to be free from preference and the ability to enjoy something that's not your preference, even if it's not met.
Yes.
And then the conversation we were having in group about unconditional love not being related to behavior, which is the process of love and the process of wanting to be around behaviors that are not, that I don't want to be around, from that place of freedom, are actually two different things.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yes.
So
just to catch us up, people like Dogen talked a lot about who to be around and who not to be around, and the kind of conversations to get in and the kind of conversations to avoid. Mm-hmm. The Buddha talked about it, what's wholesome and what's unwholesome. Right, so it's not that we don't make those kinds of choices. The difference is, are we miserable if we don't? Which is what I think you're going for.
Yes.
Right. So if I find myself in the company of people who are indulging in vain talk. What does that mean? But anyway, anyway, they're doing it, by God. And I know it. And I'm encouraged not to be around that. Well, is it? Do I have to suffer because I'm around them? Do I have to make them wrong? Do I have to? Mm-hmm. So is there a way to be there in that, with that, be perfectly all right? And the next time, if there's a choice between that group, non-main talk, go with non-main talk.
Yes, that was my insight, which is that if whatever it is the content is, around content, process, context, behavior that I'm around, if it takes me to a place of separation, then I'm choosing what I don't want to choose. So it's not got anything to do with the content, person, process, or behavior. It's that if I go to the place of feeling disconnected from life in that moment, then that is not the place where, that's the place I'm not free.
That's right. That's the problem. The subtle point, I think, that you're making is that I have become someone in order to have that opinion, that perspective.
Yes.
That's the issue.
Yes.
Not the pizza or the vain talk or the
preference
or anything else. It's that I have become someone who holds that posture.
Yes. So I had that experience with a close relative whose behavior I just don't want to be around. But every time I'm around that behavior, what I get disconnected from is the connection to love. I'm not in love when I'm around that behavior. But if I'm in love around the behavior, I don't actually have to tolerate the behavior.
You don't. And it's very likely it wouldn't be a problem.
Well, that's what I mean. I don't have to go to a place where I have to, it's unconditional love is not for the person or how they're acting. Unconditional love is a process of attending to something which is the process of love.
Yes, it's a state.
It's a state. And if I can make that movement back to center, then it's not a problem because I don't actually have to condone or resign or approve or want to be around or even not have the reaction of no.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah. That's very powerful because it takes away the pressure of having to change myself.
Yes, you just go to love. Myself.
Yes, we just go to love.
Nothing to it.
It really is nothing to it.
Well, there's nothing to it except it's the whole point of practice, right? So it's what Scott was just saying. I'm always here.
Yes.
Yeah, but you can hear that a lot of times, and it doesn't mean squat. So all that's required is that we go to love. How do you do that? It's kind of Jesus saying, love one another as I have loved you. Everybody knows it's a really good idea. Okay, the how of it is a little on the challenging side.
Yes, well, I think what transformed it for me is I don't have to work out how to get the values aligned or get the behaviors tolerable.
That's right.
Or go to this expanded place in which that person is God, although they might be, I don't know. But just that place of the only movement I have to make is to go from that which separates to that which loves.
Yes. Yes.
That's it.
Yes. That's it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's pretty big too, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
So can I clarify about that? So let's take the pizzas. You know, I want
the pizzas?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The cheese pizza and spinach pizza. I prefer cheese pizza. I'm someone who likes cheese pizza. Now, I've heard this conversation, so I know, all I have to do is go to love. But I suspect you're not saying, or are you, that it's like I have to learn to love spinach pizza?
Well, you certainly don't have to. We don't have to do anything. That's the good news about this.
Yeah.
But for myself, yeah, I would like to do that. Because I want to know, I want to know, without it being an intellectual exercise, I want to know why I don't. What is it about that? How do I know that? What, where does that, I mean, there's nothing in this body that says, no, I'm not, I don't like Spanish pizza. So how did we get there?
Uh-huh.
For instance, so Ashwini grew up in a slightly different environment than I did. Okay? And so some of the things when we're around together that smell good to her. And I know that if I had been raised in that environment, that would smell good to me too.
Yeah.
So there's nothing about that thing, right? It's all in the conditioned reaction that I have to it. And so I'm not saying anybody should anything, but just for me, I like to explore those things. So what would it be like if I'm not comparing cheese pizza to spinach pizza? What if this is just what this is without anything else? Can I actually be present to it? Can I be in a place of love with this? Or do I have to run everything through a conversation about, well, so green. Kind of chewy. Maybe all right on a salad. Croutons. But don't put them together and call them pizza. That's just wrong. Right? Because I mean, whether we do it that way or not, that's what we're doing, right? With it's like that whole process that we're usually not even aware of that tells me what I like and what I don't like, and what is this and what is that. But we know that that other people don't experience it that way. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is. I mean, we know that because everything that exists, somebody experiences it different than we do.
And what really helped me was when you said the word compare. Because I think that that's obviously totally a conversation, totally conditioning. And if I am just with the spinach pizza and there's no thinking going on,
if you've never seen one before.
Right. Yes. So it's just that being with the spinach pizza.
So again, the email class, maybe we're even in it, where I ask people what their favorite food and their least favorite food, and then the exercise was to taste your favorite food and taste your least favorite food, and most of the people said, I don't know why I said that. It was fine. The least favorite, it was fine. It wasn't awful. And you know that favorite, it wasn't that great. Mm-hmm. So there's this whole story that's going on that when we're actually there having the experience, is not our experience. That's the level on which I like to explore it. Not because I have anything about that I should. You know, it's not that. But, you know, karma being what it is, what if you wound up somewhere and the only thing there was to eat was spinach pizza? You want to be ready.
Well, right, that's what the word freedom came, right? It's just freedom. Because it's like, that's right, if I had spinach and pizza in front of me, I'm going to be happy.
Exactly. And that's the part that we have some say over.
Yeah.
We can always choose to be happy.
Thank you.
I got to practice with this yesterday where I was doing a task that had lots of different parts to it. And there was one part I realized I kept encountering it. I don't like this part. Like I'll feel all right once this is done, but it was something to somehow get through. And I realized that and did the, what's going on? And saw that it was a place where there was something working to say, this moment doesn't count. This isn't it. You can't be happy. doing this part. And so I just sort of stood still until I could feel, this is it. Mm-hmm. This is nirvana. Mm-hmm. This, mm-hmm. you know. It was putting the bedding on, which just stresses me out like nobody's business. I don't know why.
Stresses you out. Now, that's really interesting. That's an addition.
Yeah.
So it makes you anxious in some way?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Because?
Well, that was the thing. I mean, something to do with performance comparison, the precision uh-huh. aspect.
And you actually won't get it right. And it's not even that you can't do it over. Even if you did it over, you might not get it right, and somebody's going to see it, and they're going to judge you.
There's just a lot of... it's one of those places where it's almost like I can feel the conditioning watching.
Yeah. High pressure.
Because there's been so much...
See, people who think I go to a monastery to train, you know, how hard can that be?
Oh, I know.
And sometimes, you know, there are like creases underneath the top layer, and I think what I go to is, how would somebody else do it? Like, somebody else would know how to do this, and I don't. Is that kind of conditioning? Oh. And so, just dropping all of that and being present to life informing, well, you could lift that, and, you know, just one of those opportunities.
Well, because, you know, that's really interesting for all of us to consider.
Mm-hmm.
So when you said, how would somebody else, you know, somebody else, what if you were the first person ever to make a bed?
Yes.
I mean, somebody came up with that.
Yes.
And somebody else said, that's a really good idea. Mm-hmm. Right? And then we started, you know, like the 100th monkey, we started passing it along, making beds that way, right?
Yes.
But to actually look at it, okay, we have these sheets, we have this mattress.
Yeah.
All right. How do we do this? Right? And then it's a really interesting, because mm-hmm. now it's not compared to what somebody else is doing.
Right.
You're going to let life inform you about how to do this.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Truly bring in his mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then if you throw in that it's nirvana, then that helps too.
Well, it was.
Mm-hmm. It is.
It is.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
In each moment.
In each
and
moment.
And we miss it.
Well, that because that was the experience of the day. Like, I was walking down to attend to like a row of three hermitages, and I could see the process start. That looking to conditioned mind. Okay. Well. That kind of figure out, strategize, well, which one, they all needed slightly different things, so which one shall I do first? I've got these tools, I could put them here and then go to that one. And I just did a, don't go with it. I'm going to be here for the rocks and the leaves on the path. Mm. And when I get there, it's like what you need will be given in the moment. And I'm not going to be not alive on this walk down the path in that process, and instead... drop it, and then when I get there, it will be there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it was good.
It was really good.
And do you think your bed making in the future will be affected by this?
Radically. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's already transformed. I did a little bit this morning. It was just...
You just kind of went in and made a little bed just to see how you were doing, how it's coming along. Yeah. Isn't that funny though? I mean, that sounds silly, but it's really true. It's like, ooh, I can't wait to do the next one and just see what happens.
Exactly.
That's I'm see how this goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you.
So, as happens, you always get the perfect thing.
You have to speak up.
As happens, you always get the perfect thing. And on the tea stand, there was a quote in the card holder that said, "We feel vulnerable when we don't trust that the wisdom, love, and compassion that we need will be there when we need it. Mm-hmm. And I have just had two incredibly heart-open, beautiful days with me and my partner both coming out of retreat. And that heart-openness is actually accompanied by this incredible feeling of vulnerability, as if he is the vehicle of wisdom, love, and compassion. And if anything happens to him, it's all going to disappear. Mm-hmm. And I think he's arriving at a place of connecting to that, yeah, it's great to have it with me, but he also has it in this other way. And that sounds really great. I'd really like that.
It sounds
like a really great, how do I get some, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Because whenever we're going to be apart, I get filleted with, he's going to die, and all that love and compassion is going to go with him. Yeah. And it's just it's a feast. And so it was great after these 2 days of, wow, we made it through 2 days without an ego conditioning feast. And then, you know, we're coming down the driveway and it's just going. You know? Because now we're going to be apart.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And, so, you know the feeling of the being embraced in the wisdom, love, and compassion. You know that feeling.
I do.
And can you feel it now? Close your eyes. Anybody else wants to close their eyes and feel it too, you can feel it.
Yes.
And you can feel it? Where do you feel it?
It's like a feeling that I could relax. There would be something there. There would be a floor. Mm-hmm.
Well, there is right now.
Yes.
Yes. You see that little slip over into some future, mm-hmm. rather than
here,
right
now.
You have the experience right now.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Because the other place it goes is, well, I had it. I just had it in getting that card to give me what I needed. And I kind of have it right now because I'm getting to have this conversation, which I clearly need. But it's like that...
It's not yours. It's not yours. You don't have ownership of it.
Yeah.
It's conditional.
Yes.
It's with him, it's with the card, it's with the conversation.
Yes.
You can have it, but you have to be taken there through some vehicle.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. It doesn't feel exactly. It's not permanent. It's not no matter what.
Mm-hmm. And yet, each time you experience it in the same way, in the same place. So if you think about being with your partner, can you feel it?
Yes.
And then you think about the card.
Yes.
You're in the conversation. You're right here in the conversation. It's the same experience. Is that true? I mean, you don't feel it in your the palm of your right hand one time and then, you know, in your left foot the next time, and it's something, it's a place that you go to in in yourself. Is that, I mean, not that your toe in your you, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That you feel it in you. You don't feel it in him. You don't feel it in the card.
I guess that's probably the glitch, is that I feel it abstractly, conceptually, rather than feeling it viscerally.
There you go. So as long as you don't own it, then it isn't yours. As long as there's that belief that it's not yours, it's something that you can tap into in these other situations with a particular person, with a... So that's going to be the job, is to feel it. Because that's how then it's ours. So when you realize when you're with him, you feel that. You feel, you said, you started out heart opening, right? So your heart is open, right? You're relaxed. And you feel fulfilled. You feel open. I imagine you're happy.
Yes.
I sense that. Yeah, and you're feeling. It's all those feelings that are your experience.
Yeah.
But that gets taken away from you and turned into this thought about, but it's him, but it's that, but it's that, but it's that. And it takes you away from feeling it and realizing that, no, it's you.
Uh-huh. Right, because I guess the feeling is, well, it's okay now, but... as opposed to feeling like, because I have it, because it's mine, it's okay.
That's right, it's who you are.
Out of time.
That's right. And it can't be separated from you. It can't. And so it's not just in a conversation, it's not just with a card, it's not just with a person. It's any time. You're walking in the woods, there's a tree. You see a deer. You're looking at the pond. Yeah, there's a sunset. There's a, it's all you.
I'll work with it.
Yeah, it's going to be really important. Because otherwise, even the most intimate, loving experience is an experience of separation.
Yes, I think that's why I experience it as, you know, kind of like the way they make yarn where it's like two strands that are twisted together. I experience it as like love and loss and love and loss and love and loss. It's like love and separation and love and separation and love and separation.
Yes.
So that the more I feel the love, the more I actually feel fear.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Which is how ego maintains control. Because ego is always there as the fear, as the reminder of loss, as the but if this, but down the road, but when that, but without that, under the... So ego is always present, making sure that the love is not something that obliterates the ego.
So when you come into the visceral and now,
you're finding you. You're finding authenticity.
And there's just the one strand. Because there's not the constant threat of...
That's right.
Of what isn't here but could be. Yeah, it's just...
Only this.
Only this.
Only life. Only love. Only now. Only here. And then everything comes into that. Instead of that feeling of going out, you know, as this is the motion, the going to the person, going to the conversation, going to the that abstraction. Everything is seen to be happening here, inside you. This is the source.
And it's a big shift.
Huge.
Is it? Yeah. It's not the story.
That's right.
The story is that it's all coming from out there, and as long as it's, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not, it's out there, and then it's going to come to you, but it's all here. And what you described in coming down the road is, here come the voices, right? So here the voice of, oh, and then, and there's the attention goes to the voices, you leave you, attention goes to the voices, misery. So we're learning to bring the attention back here.
Right. And that intertwining, that yarn is happening when I'm there with what I'm projecting is coming from outside, that source of love, but there's a small conversation happening at the same time, saying, yeah, but that's just now.
That's right.
It's just now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Someday it'll go away, it won't be here, and then, and there's ego. Pay attention to me, pay attention to me, pay attention to me.
Yeah.
No. Thank you. Staying here.
So it's like deepening that experience of now, here.
That's right. That's right. That's exactly right. So that when you are in that situation where you know you're feeling it, you really want to ground yourself in it. So that no matter what's happening, no matter what those voices are saying, you are so grounded in that experience of presence. Of unconditional love, that nothing affects that. And there's no separation. So he goes, but you're not separate. Because with the two strands, you're separate, even though he's there. It's just,
yes.
The story is that you're not.
Can you say that again?
I think so. So, the story, when you're together,
yes.
Is that you're one, we can say. But those two strands are making sure that you're always separate.
Yes.
Even when you're together, and the story is, everything is fine now because you're with the source of love and compassion, that those strands are making sure that that is actually not the case.
Right, because I'm not getting to have it now while it's actually there.
That's right.
Even now.
Then, because it's talking to you about how you're going to lose it.
Right.
So it's making sure you actually never have it, although you're being told that you do. So that's why we need to completely ground ourselves in what the unconditional feels like. Every chance we get. So that's where our attention is, that's where our focus is, that's coming back to center, that's where we are, regardless of circumstances. Because here, you know separation is not possible.
So earlier when you were talking about karma as a story that, like, you're going to make it happen, it's like that karma is a story of separation that is creating that separation even when I'm
right.
with.
Yes.
It's creating separation.
That's right.
Got it.
And making sure that you are deeply grounded mm-hmm. in separation mm-hmm. and prepared mm-hmm. for the day when, I got to tell you, my partner, I have a big load of the creeps every time I left you. As you got me dead. I'm afraid to go.
Yeah.
So, you know, what we're learning to really be grounded in is a non-separate reality. So that wisdom, love, and compassion is all there is. And we have to think ourselves into separation. Ego thinks us into an illusion of separation. And it's an experience that we all know. We do. We have it. Excuse me. We have it all the time. Right? So, if we're just sitting here and we think about loved ones, or we could be thinking about loved ones who've died, or whatever, and we think about them, then we're aware of the story. But if you're not in the story, you don't have a sense of them not being here or being dead. Mm-hmm. 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 It's one of those things that it gets pointed out. So we're gonna all go to bed tonight, and we'll go to sleep, and we believe that we're going to wake up tomorrow morning, and that we're going to be the same person that we were when we went to bed at night, and we're gone. Right? You're gone for whatever period of time. You have no idea. You know, we just assume, right, that I'm there. I must be, because I was there when I went to sleep. But there's a lot of stuff that we believe that we don't actually have an experience of. Right? So anything could have happened. You could have been dead as a doornail for 6 hours, 8 hours, whatever it is. You don't know. Is this hanging together pretty much? just too far out there. So in that same kind of way, because we assume that you're all here and these other people are not here, and this is what's real, and that's not, and so they're separate and we're together, okay, there's all this stuff. But if you're not thinking about it, you can... I can, anyway, I hope you all can, feel just as connected to people who are not here as to people who are here in the room. Mm-hmm. You know, I can have a sense of my daughter and feel absolutely, completely, I mean, she's right here. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just as much as anybody in this room is here.
Right. When the attention is all on the connection.
That's right.
Yeah.
On the connection. Mm-hmm. And all that other stuff that we have, the beliefs that we have, because I can't see someone, there's proof of separation. Well, that's not our experience when we actually go to our experience. Right. You know, you can close your... We were doing this the other day, I think, recently. You can close your eyes and you can be anybody, any time, any place. You know, you don't actually. actually know. It's the Bao-tzu, you know, am I a person dreaming I'm a butterfly? Yeah. Am I a butterfly dreaming I'm a person?
Yeah.
You don't actually, we don't know. We believe all this stuff, but we don't know.
Hmm. Right.
So it's breaking down those beliefs and assumptions that's so critical. So it's like looking at those two strands. You know, why am I clinging to a belief in separation when there's no evidence whatsoever of separation? None. Huge beliefs, but no evidence.
Thank you so much.
You are so welcome.
I had a teabag experience today too, and
you didn't have to speak up.
I had a teabag experience today, and I don't remember
the wisdom of teabags.
I remember what the teabag said, but where it took me was thinking about being the stars and looking down at the earth, and seeing how. All the kind of the turmoil on the earth is—it's kind of like a little autoimmune disease. It's like the cells of the heart attacking each other or something. You know, like there's no.
Can you hear?
There's no there's no separation. We're all, you know, like we're an organism. That's what I was getting from that quote, and that's just what it reminded me of what you were talking about. Mm-hmm. Just a perspective of we're all like little cells working together, but sometimes we don't work together. We don't get along, or we get mixed up. There's like mistaken belief and
we think that other cell next to us is the enemy somehow, and decide to attack it. And what's so fun about looking at that at the earth? It's like from that vantage point. I just did these quotes, you know, for the next whatever period of time. And there are two phenomenal ones. So one is Thomas Merton, and then the other one is the fabulous black chap who's the astrophysicist or whatever.
Oh, yeah,
what's his name?
Tyson
is his last name. Yeah, Neil deGrasse, something like that. Anyway, and he was doing that, and he was talking about how he'll look at the stars, and a lot of people look at the stars and then they feel really small in comparison to the vastness of the universe. Mm-hmm. Except that he feels really large because what he's made of is what this is made of. Mm-hmm. And that same kind of
there was a tweet that came out about something like, you know, step outside and record and listen to what the sky and the wind would. I don't know if that's exactly what it said, but there's something like that. They just maybe yesterday or the day before or something. And so I stepped outside and recorded. You know, and it was just that perspective of just, you know, what came out, you know, like how the sky just touches everything. The wind is, you know, it's kind of like the sky touching you. I take great comfort in all that. And so I've taken great comfort in this whole discussion.
Well, it's true, isn't it? I mean, it's those kind of, we think, you know, well, that's so fanciful, or, you know, poetic, or whatever it is. No, it's not. The sky is touching us, right? The wind is touching everything. It's really true. It's all the same atmosphere. It's all the...
It is. And, when you had us close our eyes and go to that place of wisdom, love, and compassion, I realized how okay everything is there. I mean, and I've heard you talk about a lot, bringing everything into that. Mm-hmm. You know, because from that place, there's a way that everyone can be okay.
Yes.
If I can be there,
yes.
Everything can be okay.
Yes. Yes. And if it's true, what the Buddha said, that we are all working out our own salvation at whatever pace is diligent for us, then there really isn't a problem. Yeah. It can seem like it.
Yeah. Well, when you were saying way back at that first discussion about we get on a track and we're being given the things, I think this is what you said, we're given the things that are in our track. And you said there was no things are supposed to be this certain way. You know, and I was just, as you were saying that, I was thinking, well, I can see that, how made up that is. Things were I was supposed to keep going down this track that I thought, but I can't see my track.
Right.
And what if I was always supposed to be going down this track that didn't look like the track I thought I was supposed to be going down? You know what I mean?
Gosh, what if this is my life?
And I don't know much about Stephen Hawkins, but I know my husband's talked to me about him, how he says, you know, that he kind of had a fate. He sort of has it. This is just, it was always going to be this way. And just when you said that, I just thought, I just wonder if everything was always going to be this way. And it is this way, and why would it ever have been any different?
Because it isn't.
It isn't, but it just, you know, and it's just, there is no control in that, there is no control in that, and it's about, I mean, talk about, you know, that we feel vulnerable because we are afraid that wisdom, love, and compassion isn't going to be there, but that's why we want control, because, I mean, you know what I mean? It's like, that's why we want it, but it, you know, and it's, so I don't know what I'm trying to say, but it's just...
Well, I think what you're saying points at the deep belief that we have in alternative reality. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's what that is. If we didn't have that ability to conceptualize those things, it would be obvious that this is it. Yeah. And this is always it. So there can't be a mistake. And there isn't any other anything. And it wasn't ever going to be any. This is it. But getting ourselves to actually get that is one of the diciest pieces of awareness practice.
And it's just probably one of the sweetest places.
Yes.
Ever.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because it's just love, really. That's all that's there.
Yes. When we get here, we realize that all that's here is love. Yeah.
Anyway, thank you for this wonderful discussion tonight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A pleasure.
Yeah.
A pleasure, truly. Mm-hmm. And later than we thought.